Susie Walton is a pioneer in parent education and has been leading seminars, hands-on workshops, and full-length parenting classes, instructor trainings, teacher in services, and one-on-one coaching for over 23 years. In the early 90s, Susie acted on her heartfelt belief that true positive change begins in the home and created an organization to help reduce stress and frustration in the areas of family relationships and raising children. Susie's aspirations and dedication to providing positive change and mutual respect inspired her to open Indigo Village in 2005, a unique and dynamic virtual community that provides empowering educational and experiential-based programs in parenting and child development. In addition to the programs she provides through Indigo Village, she's also the author of Key to Personal Freedom, How Myths Affect Our Family Lives, which was published in 2009. Professionally and personally, Susie is an active and influential community member, holding experience as a board member for the YMCA Youth and Family Services, Families Forever, and more recently founding the Indigo Village Educational Foundation in 2009. She continues to work with a number of organizations and corporate entities in order to develop self-awareness around raising healthy families while implementing practical and positive change. The fifth child in a family of 10, she herself has 4 sons, 2 granddaughters, 1 grandson, and makes her home in Cardiff. Join me in welcoming Susie Walton.
Good morning. Anyone else here a family of 10? Number 5? My job was to keep everybody happy. And I did a great job, too. And now I have 3 grandsons. And another one coming, so in January I'll have 6 grandkids. And grandparenting is a whole new venue for me, obviously, and it is such an honor. In fact, I'm about to begin writing a curriculum called The Joy of Grandparenting, because I think there's a lot of grandparents out there that haven't grasped the idea of how important we are to kids, to the grandchildren, and our job is to actually support you women, you moms, in raising your kids. Not come at it where we think we know better than you. So I'll let you know when that course comes out, and you can invite all your parents. So thank you for having me this morning. What a group. You guys are amazing. Hey, do I have to stand behind this, or am I okay like this? That's good? Okay. So The Joy of Parenting, this is a course I created in the past year because I wanted, I feel... raising 4 sons, it's important to have a lot of joy in your life when it comes to parenting. Are you all still having that joyful experience? Okay, so let's start. Go ahead and close your eyes for a moment. And think of the first time that you first set your eyes on your child, your baby, your newborn, your child. Okay, open your eyes. How many of you felt that, just that unbelievable love, you know, the excitement? Yeah, there was some nervousness around it, but like this child in front of you, what a miracle, right? Do you remember that? Give me a couple of feelings how you felt. Yeah, you all felt that. Okay. So close your eyes again. Now go to a time when your child is whining or refusing to go to sleep or pick up their toys. Okay. How many of you are still feeling that unbelievable love and joy? What happened? Like, what happened to the joy? What I believe happens to so many of us is that somewhere along the way, we choose to start basing our joy on our child's behavior. And this is where we get in trouble. The thing is, you guys, we want to, our joy, it'll be easier and... yeah, it'll be easier to actually keep the joy. When you remember, you are here to support their journey. They didn't come to you to support you in your journey. They chose you, in however you want to look at that, because they knew you'd be the best for them and that you would support their journey. And they're going to have ups and downs in their lives, whether they're newborns or 5-year-olds or 25-year-olds. But they chose you. Just like that little guy up there said, if you moms knew how amazing you were, if we all knew that as moms, the world would be fixed. You are such an instrumental part in the child's future and how they view the entire world. So to keep the joy alive while parenting is huge. So what happened is there's only one ingredient needed to keep the joy of parenting alive and well? Just one simple ingredient. Julia Childs, you all know who she is. Okay, she has got these great quotes. So her first quote I have here is, "With enough butter, anything is good." When it comes to disciplining, Susie Walton says, "With enough love, things can remain joyful and fun." Okay? Joy comes, I'm going to actually read this. Joy comes from believing in yourself. Joy is closely aligned with freedom because a joyful human being experiences life's fullness even through anger, disappointment, fear, and loss. Joy is an eternal state of being, one that emerges from a profound belief in the sacredness of life. So see, joy never leaves us. It only diminishes because of our perception. When we can see joy in all aspects of raising our kids and keep the love intact while disciplining, key, we are constantly a choice of keeping the joy alive in parenting. The joy can only leave us when we leave our hearts. It's easy for us to stay in our hearts when everything's going what I like to call the kumbaya way. You know, it just seems like it's flowing, and the kids are like, "Mommy, I love you. Can I do anything for you? This is, oh, you're the best." That's so easy. But where does it go when that's not happening? You know? For me, it was just amazing that, 'cause I love my boys more than anything I could ever imagine. And those days when I yelled at them, in fact, my kids were older when I first started taking some parenting courses. And one of the reasons I started taking it was because they nicknamed me Brubaker. Now, Brubaker is a great Robert Redford movie. And Brubaker is a prison warden. So, it wasn't a term of endearment. "Oh, Brubaker, we love you." What happened, I'd get going on one of my yelling things, and one of the boys would go like this. And then all the, whatever kids were home, they go, "Hey, Brubaker, calm down." And I'm like, "I'm not calming down." I wouldn't even respond to Brubaker. I'm not calming down. "You guys are driving me crazy," right? And so then I'm like, I did a lot of yelling. I couldn't really spank them. Like, they're all 6'8" and 6'9". So like, "Ooh-hoo, let me get a spoon, chase you around." They say I did that once, I don't remember, but maybe I probably did. I did whatever I could. I didn't know what to do besides yell. Could my mom use a wooden spoon? Anyone else get a wooden spoon? If she could never catch me, I'd run just like they would, or a slipper. But the thing is, I realized my parenting was useless. And at night, do you guys ever have this happen to you? Like, you've had a rough day with your kids, and at night you go home, you go to bed and you're thinking, "Wow, the way I treated these kids, these people I love more than anyone, it's not okay." I felt so bad sometimes at night going to sleep. Like, what am I doing? Like, I love being a parent. And I spend so much time, because what I was doing is, for whatever reason, I was basing my joy on their behavior. And those moments, I thought they were out to get me. I think they thought I was out to get them. But the good news is I had a great relationship with them. It was my parenting tools that were a little archaic, so to speak. So let me get back to that butter idea, though. Because you know, if you're making something and you put too much butter in a recipe, it will actually squelch the deliciousness of that recipe. And or coconut oil, doesn't matter, either one. But it's the same thing with parenting. Loving our kids too much, and what I mean by loving them too much is by doing too much for them. You know, not allowing them to have skinned knees or, you know, always just making sure everything works for them. You can maybe call it the helicopter parenting style. It's pretty common among firstborns. You know, every time anything happens, we're there for them. We got it all going on. They're crying. Oh, here. You know, the third one, you don't even know they're crying. The fourth one, you don't even know you have. It's like, one day, my fourth son comes up to me and goes, "Can I stop wearing diapers?" I'm like, "Sure." Easiest potty training in the world. I mean, seriously, women, I had 4 sons in 6 years. The oldest and youngest are both born on Halloween, my least favorite holiday. But thank God I had 2 birthdays, because I love birthdays. But yeah, so diaper, by then, potty training, really, whatever, sure. Babyland diaper service, because back in the day we used cloth diapers. I kept them in business forever. So anyway, so that loving our kids too much, that's by doing too much for them. Okay, that squelches, it doesn't allow them to have the experience of life. See, you guys, life is the best teacher of life. So we got to let them have that experience, but if we're always doing too much for them, they don't get to have that experience of the ups and downs, which we all need in order to build our character and to build our internal strength within each of us. And when we do in a recipe, when you don't put enough butter in it, it doesn't taste that good. Yeah. And it's the same thing when we don't put enough love in our discipline. The experience is just it just doesn't work. You feel bad. That the problem there is that the disconnect between the parent and the child, because one of the scariest things for a child, like the little guy said, like the shouting part, is whenever we get upset with them in that way, it causes a disconnect. And right now, you are the lifeline to their universe. You know, if you ask your child, who's God? They'd say, you are God. Like, they think you are everything. You wish they thought that they were, I'm God, as a teenager, when they're teens, but they lose that mindset. You know, but so the thing is that disconnect, and that's what happens when we don't have love instilled with our disciplining. So the thing is here, women, balance is the key. Okay, love is a secret ingredient, but balance is the key. Have any of you guys watched that movie, I Am Sam, with Sean Penn? If you haven't, do. But it's a beautiful example of the power of love when it comes to parenting. He didn't have a lot of tools in his toolbox. But the one thing he had more than you can imagine for a parent was love for his child, for his daughter. And so it's a beautiful example of the power of how love takes charge over everything and anything. Here's another quote from Julia. No one is born to be a great cook. One learns by doing. I say the same thing with parenting. No one is born to be a great parent. One learns by doing. So, as you can see here, the way we all learn is by doing, and part of the doing is being comfortable with making mistakes. It's so important to remember that mistakes are essential for learning. How many of you are comfortable with making mistakes? Yeah. I always say I am, but you should hear it when I'm late or, you know, can't find the place I'm supposed to be going. Like, my internal dialogue, not a good thing. So maybe outside I look like I'm comfortable. And I am for most parts, but there's those times. But the thing is, you guys, why do we beat ourselves up? And if you're not okay with mistakes, how are your kids going to be okay with mistakes? Mistakes are wonderful opportunities to learn. In fact, I want you to start teaching your kids to say, hey, Mom, I made a mistake. I get a chance to learn something. Wouldn't that be beautiful to change the whole paradigm around mistakes? Jonas Salk, the polio vaccine guy, yeah? He was once asked, what kept you going looking for that vaccine with all those failures along the way? Because it took him over 100 times to find the vaccine. He said, in our family, mistakes were never thought of as failures. They were only thought of as another experience. He goes, I'm actually happy I didn't find the vaccine any sooner than I did because of all the learning that took place through my mistakes. Thomas Edison, 10,000 times before he found that light bulb. It's a good thing he didn't beat himself up over mistakes. These lights wouldn't be on. You know, so, but these, you know, this has to come from the mindset that mistakes are opportunities. I have a friend of mine, he's a Methodist minister in Hawaii, and he has three daughters who are growing up now. But when they were being raised, whenever they made a mistake, he would never get mad at them. He would do what they call in Hawaii, they would talk story. Now, these three girls thought this was normal behavior until they became teenagers. And when they became teens, they came home one day to dad. They go, Dad, why can't you be a normal dad? Like, all our friends, if they do something wrong, they get yelled at, they get sent to their room, they get grounded, but we have to do this thing that's talk story. And so that, you know, Pula said, listen, why would I punish you when you make a mistake? It's such a rich moment to learn and to grow. I can't even imagine what these three women are like now. They're all probably in their 30s, but isn't that a beautiful philosophy? Mistakes are wonderful opportunities to learn. So next time your kids do something, rather than get upset, you clean up the mess with them or whatever it needs to be done, and then say, hey, what did you learn? Some of your kids, are any of your kids in elementary school yet? You know, some of the schools, I don't know if the schools around here do, but they have these things called the red card, green card, yellow card. And every kid starts off with a green card. And then if they're a little bit naughty, they go yellow. And if they get really naughty, they go red. And so kids will come home and they'll go, you know, actually the first one they first do is, Mommy, guess what? So-and-so got a red card. And they do that because they want to see your reaction. But when they come home with the yellow or red, rather than get mad at them and make them go to their room and think about it, you use it as a learning opportunity. What happened? What can you do next time if you're in this situation again? And then you challenge them. So next time they go to school, you know, and you might even say, hey, what kids do you hang out with when you've got the green card going on? And who are your yellow card friends? And who are those naughty red card friends, right? And so you say, well, why don't you just hang out with the green card kids for a while? And then they get a green card for a few days, and they go, hey, you challenge them. I'm now challenging you to go hang out with yellow red card kids and stay green. See, use these opportunities to teach self-management. Thank you. Okay, and I'm just using the red card as an analogy, but that's for all parts of life. Challenge your kids. They got in trouble for talking in school, or they did something. Hey, I'm challenging you to go back to preschool today or go with your cousins today and keeping the sand in the sandbox rather than someone else's eyes. Or, you know, like, how are you going to take care of yourself when people are being mean to you? I want to hear, and this is the best part of this, and I want you to let me know how it goes when you get home. Now they feel like you're completely on their side and that you're actually wanting to help them and support them in their journey. Not, you know, because when we get mad at them and we start getting down, like, for misbehaving, so to speak, they learn then to not tell us anything or blame someone else. They're not going to take the accountability because they don't want to get in trouble. Okay, you guys good? All right. Okay, there's one more thing about mistakes. Can I get a role player out here? Who likes to role play? Come on up. I'd rather stay near the mic. Okay, so here it is. So this whole thing about making mistakes and getting on their case about it, right? So let's pretend, you're down on your knees. Oh. And she's my daughter who's learning how to, and she's learning how to walk, okay? So you're learning how to walk, and so we do this, and then fall. So the thing is, okay, that's what most of us did when our kids were learning, all of us did, right? So that's what it needs to look like when they're making mistakes. Because what it looks like when they make mistakes is this. Walk, walk, fall. Oh, come on, get up. You can, quit making this. Come on, make it happen. What, you're not walking yet? When are you going to learn to walk? Okay. So really, what's the difference? You know, your kids are learning to walk. We support them in their journey, right? We don't keep the moms that love too much, they would never let go of their kids' hands while they're learning to walk. But we always let go because we want to be there when they fall to help them up again. It's the same thing as your children journey through life. They are going to fall. They're supposed to fall. But they don't need you to batter them. Like, what do you learn? When are you going to, especially teenagers, right? When are you going to get this together? How many times do I have to tell you? Stop that. Help them back up. Say, come on, you can do it. I know you can go to that party without drinking. You're like, oh my God, help me. Remember your teenage years, girls, you're pretty young. Wasn't that long ago. Wouldn't it have been cool to have your parents do something like that? Okay. Okay, so Viktor Frankl. This is one way I'm going to help you guys, give you a tool right now, one way that you can stay connected while disciplining. Viktor Frankl, in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, do you guys know who he is? He was a psychiatrist who was in the camps for a long time during the Hitler reign, and he survived. And so he wrote a book, and in it, he said one of the biggest parts, the components of keeping him alive in the camps was between a stimulus and response lies a space. And in that space, we are at choice to choose our response. And it's in that response, that's where lies our freedom and our growth. So whenever the situation arises for him, he would create space. And so when it comes to parenting, I want you all to start doing that too. Your kids can create some stimulus for you. They start crying, they're not listening, whatever. You guys know how that feels. You start twitching, and you know you don't want to yell, but you know you're going to, and you're either going to yell or whatever. But the thing is, what I want you to start doing is recognize the stimulus sooner than you might think, especially for you that are first-time moms. How many are first-time moms? So you guys have a lot of patience. And then, but then it keeps rolling, and then all of a sudden we're like, ah! So the minute you hear this, you feel the stimulus within your body, create a space. And in that moment, probably the best thing you can do is take a deep breath. So right now, everybody take that deep breath. I mean, just in that itself, don't you feel calmer? So imagine doing that when there's a situation going on in the household. I want you to be disciplined enough not to even think about how I'm going to discipline this child until you're in that moment, that space. That's when I want you to choose how you want to discipline, because then you'll be choosing from a place in your heart. Okay, so you're going to, so that space can last 2 seconds or 2 minutes or 20 minutes. It doesn't matter. It's whatever it takes for you to calm down. Don't worry, the spilled milk's going nowhere. Now, you might be thinking, well, what if my 4-year-old's laying on top of my 1-year-old? He's squishing him to death, right? So at least on your way over there, breathe. So breathe, and it's going to be a practice, you guys. And this is not about allowing your kids to get away with stuff. This is for you as parents on how you can actually discipline your kids, which they all need, but in a way that you get to go to bed at night and say, dang, I was an amazing teacher today with my kids. See, where you guys, well, I shouldn't say you guys because I was right there, we guys get in trouble is that we remain parents when we're disciplining. Be a parent when you're snuggling with your kids. Be an educator when you're teaching your kids. And discipline is about teaching, because that's actually what it means. You know, discipline means to teach, not to yell and punish. But that creating that space, go into your heart. In my class, The Joy of Parenting, we call it the heart connector. A very physical, kinesthetic way you can remember to do that is, everybody do this right now, put your hand on your heart. In fact, if you want, you can put both hands on your heart, whatever it takes, and breathe into your heart. And then this allows you to be centered again and remember, this is where I need to go. And your kids are going to go, Mommy, what are you doing? And I'm breathing in my heart because I love you too much to fight with you. I don't want to yell at you. And then you teach your kids to start doing this. In fact, Donna Eden, she's the founder of Energy Medicine. She said, actually, you do this, and then you draw a heart around your heart. And it's some kind of, I don't know this stuff very well, so something in the meridians. Something that just kind of lightens up and kind of, it's like a light being put back in your body. So what you can do is you do this, your child does that, and then you can go and draw a heart around his or her heart, and then you have your child draw a heart around your heart. Really, women? You will be in such a kumbaya moment. It's amazing, okay? But this is really, and you know, some of you guys have kids that are kinesthetic. When they're mad, they just hit, kick, and bite. They're not aggressive. They're kinesthetic. When we say use your words, they should say, why? I just kicked you. Don't you know how mad I feel? And we don't allow kicking, but this is very kinesthetic for these kids. It gives them something to do to remind them to go back into their heart. I have a friend who's got a 4-year-old. She walked into a room one day, or 3 or 4-year-old, and he was sitting like this, cross-legged. And she's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm trying to get back into my heart. I'm like, oh my God. I know she Facebooked it. It was, if you go to my Joy Parenting Facebook page, you can scroll down and find it. It's amazing. Because he was just sitting by himself in a room, like breathing into his heart. So everybody again. Okay, this will be the reminder. Now you can discipline from a place of here. You know, when we start yelling at our kids, it's when we move out of here to here. This is easy. Stop it. Don't make it bubble. That's so heady. You can't speak like that when you're here. It's impossible. Okay, so create the space. And then choose your discipline in that moment. There's a quote by Samuel Taylor Coolidge who states, "What comes from the heart goes to the heart." Okay, women, you guys have this handled. We're all very heart-centered people here. Women in general, you're heart-centered people. We just forget to stay there when we're parenting. Okay, so, and your kids live there. So this is why it's so jerksome when we yell at them or get upset with them, because they're just heart beings. And then we get them like, we start asking these heady questions. What were you doing? What were you thinking? Why'd you do that? And so we keep moving them back to their head. So now they're learning how to argue back with us. But if you stay here and even ask them, how is your heart feeling right now? You know, you're going to get some pretty incredible answers. And you'll, as I said, you'll be disciplining but staying connected. Okay? Are you guys good with the heart connector? Choosing love, getting love in there before you put it out, the information that you want to share with your children. Remember, you are the most important educators they will ever have on how life works. Okay, so on your handout, you've got a few little pointers. Okay, the first one is, our kids act how we feel. Actually, that's not in there, so hang in there. We'll get there soon. But here's one for you. Our kids act how we feel. We can parent to feel a certain way, but they know better. Or we can pretend to act a certain way. Moms, they react by your emotions. Your emotions affects them, and it reflects out of them. So if your kids are in an upset, you might want to take a step back and kind of go through a scanning of yourself. What am I feeling right now that my child's kind of feeding off on it? It is amazing how they feel us and they know us by our emotions. You can't hide. Like, I'd be telling my kids to go to bed, and they're like, are you mad at us? And I'm like, no! I just want you to know to go to bed. Like, I totally denied that they were totally right on, right? They knew how I was feeling. So just know they base how we're doing by our emotions. With dads, they base how their dads are doing by what their dads are doing physically. So if dad's all of a sudden, like, putting the newspaper down hard or throwing his whatever shirt down hard, they know something's up. But us, it's based on our emotions, okay? So the thing is, you have to take care of yourself in order to take care of your kids. You guys know this. This is such bad news, good news, because if you're upset, they're upset. If we're calm, they're calm. So that's, we'll talk about self-care in a little bit, okay? But that's a really important one. So let's just go through this handout really quick here. Our child loves their homes and roots. They are strongly influenced by what goes on at home, either positively or negatively. Just as I said, they will play out their mom's emotions. Parents, be honest and open. Tell children the truth, and you can expect truth in return. Play fair. Respect them and expect respect in return. Two components that all kids of today need from parents. They need to be parented with truth and respect. Those are the two components. Be honest with them. When they stay, and this is just a side note on this one, if they slept all night and stayed in bed all night, rather than saying, oh, good girl, I'm so proud of you, you stayed in bed all by yourself last night, that's not truthful. Well, that's true, but the truth behind it is, and which will make a bigger impact on them, is thank you for staying in bed all night last night. You slept, I slept. I couldn't have done that without you, and I so appreciate it because I love my sleep. That's being truthful. That's being respectful. That's teaching them the art of gratitude. So that's another whole component that we're not going to cover today. But using those kind of words versus, you know, good job, or I'm so proud of you, or what a big girl, what a big boy. That'll be another talk, okay? But I'm just giving you right now, in those moments, be truthful. Thank you, okay? If you play games with them, they will play games right back at you. Love them, and they will love you back. Negotiating works well with these kids. Simple question like this, how are we going to make this work for both of us? You know, and this is not like two-year-olds, obviously. This is like the 4, 5, 6 on up. How can we make this work for both of us? I know you want another TV show, and you know it's time to turn it off. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it work? That's what I'm talking about, negotiation, not bribing. And using the words agreement, I'm using that with my 3.5-year-old granddaughter now. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay, I can do that, you know, and this is what I need, blah, blah, blah. So do we have an agreement? And she goes, an agreement. Yesterday she was walking me out to my car with her dad, and the agreement is to go right to my car. She calls it my drop-off. Grammy, I want to go drop you off. I'm like, okay. It's her drop-off. So, but our agreement is she walks there. She doesn't take off here or here. So yesterday, because I hadn't been around for a couple weeks, she was dropping me off, and then she started going down the sidewalk. And I said, Avery, remember the agreement about drop-off? And she was probably 20 yards away, and she looked at me, and she came back. So I didn't have to threaten her. I just said, remember the agreement we have. And it works great with these power kids. Power kids don't want to be told what to do. Do any of you guys know if you have power kids? That's all. That's why they're all babysitting right now, and you're here drinking coffee or having wine last night, working out. Yeah. Why would you be here if they're all sweet and charming and lovey? But the thing is, they're power kids. They're just like you women. Look at you. You are a powerful group of women. What do you expect you have with kids? And this gets us in trouble when you got a power mom meeting up with a power child. So this, how are we going to make it work? I can hear, and doing it with siblings or friends. Looks like you both want to use the swing at the same time. How are you going to make it work? Versus saying, come on, let her go first. She's the guest. Never say that. One three-year-old one day said, Mommy, can I just be a guest for one day? And another mom said she was in someone's house and she was so embarrassed. She heard her five-year-old son saying in the playroom, I get to go first. I'm the guest. Oh, so no more of this guest business. Okay. And then number 9, communication is an all-important key with them. They want communication. They want you speaking with them, not at them or to them. And there's a difference between that. We normally speak with each other. We normally speak with colleagues, our significant others. We're usually speaking with them. Have you ever had your significant other speak to you or at you versus with you? How'd that work for you women? It doesn't. And same with our kids. Speak with them. Okay? Not at them or to them. And this is all from this great book from Nancy Tappy, called Indigo, Indigo's The Quiet Storm. Can I go 5 more minutes as I go through these? Yeah, okay. So let's go quickly through these little recipes I've got here for you. The first one is recipe for self-care. Okay, so 4 ingredients for self-care is compassion, love, self-acceptance, and fuel. Recipe for self-care. Come from a complete place of compassion for yourself, moms. Love and accept you for who you are. In any moment, you can ask, what is the most loving thing I can do for myself right now? Or what do I need right now to take care of me? How I feel personally in my own experience of raising kids, there was times I forgot about me. I would get so caught up in the busyness of my kids and everybody else. And my kids, they were tuned in me at a very young age. Sometimes they go, Mom, go take a run. And they were like 8 years old. Just go take a run. I'm like, why am I twitching a little bit here? You know, they just knew when I worked out or did something for me, I was a much better mom. So, you know, have the compassion for yourself. How many of you have compassion for yourselves? Cool. No one raised their hands. Okay, 1. You know, and love yourself. How many of you love yourself? Wholeheartedly, 100%. You think you're the most awesome being in the world. Okay, how many of you want kids that love themselves and they feel like they're the most awesome person in the world? Yeah, but how can they do that if you're not doing it? You gotta model that. You need to become disciplined in the areas that you want your kids to be disciplined in. You need to be the change that you wish you see in your kids. So start loving yourselves more through self-care. It's one of the biggest responsibilities as a parent is self-care. That's why I'm glad so many of you last night went out and did that bar exercise. How many of you went? Beautiful self-care. Being here this morning is self-care, you guys. Just because you're a mom now, whether a working mom, at-home mom, does not mean you should be with your kids 24/7. How many of you had kids that have ever drive you crazy? Come on, everybody. Your kids have never driven you crazy. Well, wow, have some more then. But the thing is, if your kids are driving you crazy, there's a 99% chance that you're driving them crazy. They need a break from you. My kids used to beg for babysitters. I got really fun ones. And like, could you go somewhere, please, so we can have a babysitter? We like Beth. She used to play the underwear game on them. She'd put one of their little undies on top of her head and chase them around. Awesome. Okay. So, have self-love. care, compassion. And then the next one is fuel. Go to bed early. I know this is tough, you guys, because your parents and your kids are all, but take care of you. You've got to get sleep, right? Take a nap when they take a nap. Oftentimes what we do in nap time is that we try to get everything done that we didn't get done while they're napping, right? That doesn't serve you or them, because then you're just burned out by the time dinner time shows up. So take care, get some sleep, fuel, okay? Food. I mean, this is huge. We are as vibrant as the foods we put in our bodies. As I'm reading, I'm like, this is not a good thing, because yesterday, I think I had two bowls of Cheerios and a perfect food bar. I was busy. I was like, what am I going to eat, Cheerios? Aren't I vibrant? Think of how vibrant I would have been if I ate healthy meals all day yesterday. But I don't have kids at home. You guys do. Fuel yourselves with healthy food, okay? Keep an eye on what you're eating or what you're not eating. Plus, again, that's modeling to your kids the importance of taking care of themselves. Don't you all want your kids to know how to take care of themselves when they're growing up? Model it. Okay, the next one is recipe for peace. Three ingredients: integrity, understanding, and compassion. David Hawkins, he is quoted as saying that an individual's power can be enhanced through greater integrity, understanding, and compassion. When we're yelling at our kids or angry, none of those ingredients are there. And actually, we're choosing force over power in those moments. True power doesn't come in forms of yelling and being angry. True power is when you guys are in you're in it and you're handling the situation and it's empowering. But when we start yelling at our kids, like, just da-da-da, that's force, okay? And so just remember, be a choice. Do you want to choose force over power? All right? And then when we step out of integrity is when we are no longer being honest and truthful to them and to ourselves. It's actually okay sometimes, moms, to say to your kids, I don't know what to do right now. Part of me wants to yell at you, and part of me doesn't. I'm not really sure even how to handle situations like this. So be okay being honest with them and just saying, I don't know what to do right now, so I'm going to take a break, and then we'll come back, and I'll talk about what just happened. Have you guys ever tried that? Keep it up, okay? And the compassion is seek to understand. When your kids are doing something, stop, before you start just judging and blaming, stop and ask them what they're feeling, what's going on for them. Seek to understand before being understood, all right? And then the last one is the recipe for joyful parenting. First is truth. I've talked a lot about that. Be truthful with your kids. Let them know when you're in upset. Let them know when you've got things going on. Let them know when you're happy, sad, mad, and glad. Let them know. Be truthful. Thank them for things versus saying big girl. And that just... be real with them. They love it when you're being real with them, okay? And keep it simple. You guys, you all have toddlers. I read somewhere that if you have more than three things on your to-do list, you are causing stress in your life. And obviously one of those things probably should be a shower, and now you're down to two things a day. Anything else over that, you're stressed out. So keep it simple. If you've been busy all day, don't come home and try to make a meal. Get a tablecloth, throw it on the kitchen floor, get out some, you know, peanut butter and jelly and bread and carrot sticks and make a picnic on the ground. Those are the moments your kids are going to remember. They're not going to remember all the times you made 5-course meals. Keep it simple, okay? Keep it simple. Let your kids sometimes take a bath and have PJs on before dinner so that they're just ready for bed. Like, keep it simple. And the one last one, of course, is love. Love is the secret ingredient. Love is all it really takes, you know? And so just remember that, and when you're losing it, take that deep breath. One more time, everybody take a deep breath. And in that moment, you're going to remember, you're going to choose discipline from love, and at that point, you get the choice. You're constantly a choice of creating the family of your dreams. But it's going to have to, you're going to have to take the time back to take that step and take that breath and like, how do I want to handle the situation? Okay, so that is that, because I know you have questions and your roundtable discussions. And also, I just want to let you guys know that I'm right now producing 4 videos that are free on some hot parenting topics. And you're welcome to receive those. I have an email list over there. so that you can, if you want. They're really good, though. And I also have my new course, Joy Parenting, which is a live course, but I'm creating an online course. And so you can sign up on the email for that, too. It's that way you can have it right in your home, and you'll have it forever. It doesn't expire in a year. And you can always go to it to find out more information or just reminders, okay? But thank you for having me. And when you guys do your discussions, if you have a question at the table, I'll be over here anyways. I actually have my book, Key to Personal Freedom, a great parenting book. It's the parenting book I wish I had when I was raising my sons. It's in big letters so that when you're tired at night, you can actually read it. And it has stories. I learn best by stories. And so my book is filled with stories by parents like you on these situations that we've talked about in other ones. So the books are $10. They're over there. And if you need me at your table, let me know. But any questions before you start your discussions? Awesome. You guys are amazing. Okay, well, I'll be here if you need me, okay? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susie. And like Susie mentioned, she'll be over here while we do our discussions. But